Malachi chapter 4. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. Malachi 4 verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, the title of this message is Help Wanted, Godly Fathers Needed. Have you ever seen a time in your life when you've seen so many help wanted signs on businesses? It's everywhere. I see signs saying you can start today. I've seen signs that say get paid today. A lot of them are offering free college classes. It's amazing. If a guy could just stay awake 24 hours a day for days on end, you could work at a different company, and I don't know how many days you could do it. I mean, get hired immediately and work a shift and get hired immediately, and of course, who would want to do that? But I'm just saying there are so many places that are willing to hire people immediately. It's amazing. I've never seen such a thing in my life. And I'm told, I don't know if it's the truth, but I'm told that there's a shortage of workers because the government is paying people so well to sit at home, they don't want to go to work. I don't know if that's correct or not, but I don't know. But we do know that there is a great shortage on godly fathers as well in this world. So for us fathers, and all of these principles apply to all of us as well. But whatever position and place we are in life, what does our Heavenly Father want us to be? Well, number one, we need to live right before our children and others. I'll say that again. We need to live right before our children and others. Notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Matthew 5, 48. The Bible says, be ye therefore what? Perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, you know, we live in a world where there's excuses made for everything. And so, but we must not do that with the Lord. God tells us to be perfect. Are we perfect? No, we are so far from perfection. In fact, the more spiritual we really are, really the more how we see we come so far short of God's glory. So far short. But nonetheless, the point is that we do not want to make excuses for our sin. I was recently at a store, and the clerk was helping someone check out, and the clerk was asking the customer about all these things that she was purchasing. And the customer said, it's for a bachelorette party. And my heart was saddened because whether it's a bachelorette party or a bachelor party, so often they are just times of great sin is what they are. It's like before they're married, they want to have one last sinful time out. And it saddened my heart to hear that's what all those things were for. But a lot of those people, they get drunk and they do a lot of terrible things, but a lot of times they excuse it, like saying, well, hey, it's my last free night before I get married or whatever. And they're in bondage, aren't they? They're in bondage to sin is what they are. Notice with me in Galatians chapter 6. But my point with that is that they excuse it. They excuse whatever sin they want to commit in that party that night. They excuse it. Oh, it was just a bachelorette party. It was just a bachelor party. It's okay. No, it isn't okay. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. You know, when I heard that, I thought about the young people that we've seen get married here. And I just think, you know, they get married. They've never kissed the opposite gender other than their mother. And they don't go around, you know, holding hands and hugging and all the stuff the world does. And I just think that's really sad, you know, holding a party like that. They're gonna miss so much. They're gonna sow to the flesh, and that's what they're gonna reap in their lives. So we want to live right. Proverbs 28:4. We need to live right before our children and others. Proverbs 28:4. You know, we can tell people to do the right things, but if we don't do the right things, they're more apt to do what we do instead of what we say. Proverbs 28:4. The Bible says, they that forsake the law do what? Praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. So they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Now, we might not go around holding up signs, you know, praising the robbers and praising the immoral and praising this crime and that crime. But verse 4, if we forsake the law, that's what we are doing. We are praising the wicked because we are lawless ourselves. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. So this is what our children and others see. If we're lawbreakers, you know, every generation seems like wants to go a little deeper and further into sin. So that's what happens. Each generation seems to be a little more rebellious. So, okay, so if I allow something to this point, will my children allow something to the next point? Or will we all get back to the Word of God? Saying, you know what, this is the standard, the Word of God. Because if we just make the standard wherever we set it, then other people, you know, there is no standard. So it's just everybody's opinion. Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. So they that forsake the law praise the wicked. You know, that's like Eve. Eve in her innocence. Adam and Eve had what is called untested holiness. God created everything very good. God created everything sinless. So it was an untested holiness. They were holy, but it was untested until the serpent came along. Notice in Genesis chapter 3. And then when the serpent came along, the test came, and there was a failure on that part. In Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, okay, she's thinking this. God says don't eat of it, but the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. I mean, the fruit actually looked good too. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now she's taking the serpent's word for it. Ah, if you take it, you'll be as gods. You'll know good and evil. Now that's what he said in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So suddenly Eve is saying, you know what? I've got a mind of my own. I can see that this tree is good for food. I can see it's actual fruit on that tree, just like all the other trees. It's pleasant to the eyes. You know, some fruit might be more pleasant looking than others. And then You know, and the serpent said, if I took it, I'd be wise. And so in her mind, she's going through this. And you know what she found out too late? Satan is what? A liar. He's a liar. Soon as they eat, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know what? She listened to that liar, and you know what? And Adam took it too. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that he wasn't deceived, but he ate it too. Right after they ate, what was the first thing they faced? A wedge in their marriage. They no longer felt comfortable around each other. And so they tried to make some clothing out of fig leaves. You know, the devil will do that. The devil will try to get us to think true freedom is disobeying God. And what we'll find in the end, it hurts every area of our lives. It hurts our family relationships with Adam and Eve. It hurt physical relationships, Eve bearing children. It hurt labor situation. Adam would have to work in the sweat of his brow. And it just made life hard all over. Notice with me in Isaiah 59. The problem is by the time Adam and Eve learned that, it was too late. It was too late. They had all those hardships upon them. Sin always makes life harder. But doesn't the world always try to paint a different picture? The world always wants you to think that if you do things their way, it'll be just such a burden lifted. But it's the opposite is true. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your what? Iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have what? Hid his face from you that he will not hear. Have you ever just pled with God, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. I was doing that this week with this new used printing machine we have. The guy came and he delivered it, and the computer talked to it. Well, he left. I had to take my computer back home. And so when I bring my computer back up, guess what? The two machines didn't want to talk. My computer didn't want to talk to the printer. And the printer didn't want to talk to the computer. And when I looked on my computer, it says printer ready. But they wouldn't communicate. Nothing happened. And I'm saying, Lord, please help me. I have no clue why they won't communicate, why they won't talk. I don't have the copies here, but anyway. Brother Barry came along and rescued me there. So the Lord answered that prayer. He brought help. And so he figured out, got the two things communicating, and then able to figure out some other things. So that should be a blessing. We found out a feature on it that it will, the John Romans is the hardest thing that we put together, the longest, and a different cover. And so I discovered that the machine has three other drawers, and you can actually put the cover in one of those other drawers, and it will pull the cover out separate and then print all the others. It'll collate the pages right in order. It'll fold them and staple them. Now, I know some of you are saying, but what about my job? Where did my job go? Well, we don't have to use that on everything. When we have the helpers, but when it will really come in handy is when we have an order and we just don't have a work night scheduled and we need something to be put out, it'll be such a blessing. So thank the Lord for that machine. But talk about praying. And I'm just, well, let's go to James chapter 1. I don't know how many times I brought this verse to the Lord this week. Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. In James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so the week is going on, and I'm thinking, I've got to get this machine going. And so the Lord granted the helpers to come that knew what to do, and praise God for that. So it's we want the way open, don't we? So in Isaiah 59 there, our sins can hide God's face, and he will not hear us. We will not get our prayers answered. So we don't want to be in that situation at all. So number one, we need to live right before our children and others. Number two, we need to lead right before our children and others. We need to lead right. I noticed back in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, and he shall turn the heart of who? The fathers to who? The children. And the heart of who? The children to who? Their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know, I can tell my children, you know, do this. But you know, it works much better if I will say to them, come and watch me do this. Learn how to do this. Other than just saying, go do that. It's a matter of leading. And it's interesting here that God, and of course this is fulfilled in John the Baptist, but God says the first thing is the fathers need to have their hearts turned to the children, and then the heart of the children to their fathers. How serious is it? Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know, if the home is to be right, we as fathers need to be right. And of course, all these principles apply to all of us. Too often we think, well, if somebody else will lead, you know, if somebody else will just start doing the right thing, we have to be that one to start doing the right thing. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5. You know, if apologies need to be made, you know what? God speaks to my heart about an apology. I need to do it. I must not wait for somebody else. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So this is pretty amazing. So if God brings something to our hearts and minds, okay, well, I need to make an apology somewhere. I need to do that. And then he says, go do it, and then come back and offer the gift at the altar. So being a dad in whatever place you have in your home, it's, you know what, when God speaks to our heart, we need to be the ones that do it. We just need to be the ones to humble ourselves. And as fathers, we cannot lead our homes unless we're leading. I can't lead my home spiritually if I am not growing spiritually. I can't do it. And that means following God's lead. Notice in Proverbs 3. So if I'm leading, then nobody's going to be following me if I'm not leading. If I'm behind the pack, no one's going to be following me. I'm going to be following somebody else. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. So that's what we need to do. We need to acknowledge him. So if I'm not acknowledging him, then I won't be following him. And if I'm not following him, then I might be leading other people astray. So if we want the people in our home to have a servant's heart, what must we do? Well, we must be the servant. If I see a need in the home, then I need to do it. I need to have a servant's heart. If we treat our children or others like slaves and yell at them, well, then we're leading to have a home with that situation. So we don't want to do that. Notice in Galatians 5:13. So what kind of an example are we leaving? Galatians 5:13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto what?
Liberty.
Oh boy, I get to do what I want. What do you want for lunch? You're called to liberty. What are you going to choose? Is it even in the house? What you would choose? Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for what? Occasion to the flesh. Okay, I got it. I've been called unto liberty, but it's not to do just anything that I please. It says, but by love, what?
Serve one another.
So, am I hungry? Oh, I've got the liberty. I can eat. You are too slow. I'm just going to start eating. No, God says, by love, serve one another. Well, I can help others do whatever they need to do, and then we can all eat. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as who? Thyself. That's liberty. And who's our neighbor? Well, there's no neighbors closer than who? The people in our own home. Those are our neighbors. God tells us to love our neighbors. Do we really love those in our own home? Do we really have a servant's heart? It said in verse 13, by love serve one another. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not what? Consumed one of another. So in the home, you know, do I have a little name tag on, as it were, that I'm the server? Or do I have a big plaque on my desk that says I'm the president? You know, which is it? You know, by love, verse 13, by love serve one another. Because if someone has to lead, and God calls us to do that, but not lead by saying, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Now, there are times when someone does have to delegate authority, but I'm saying the overall picture is leading is doing it, saying, come on, help me. Come, let's do this. Come, let's do that. To lead, not drive. I know from Brother Jim working with cattle, and I watched the young boys across the road. You drive cattle, but you don't drive sheep. So we've been called to liberty, but by love serve one another. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So how are we doing on by love serving one another? Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. The Bible says, ye are the what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto who? All that are in the house. Could we ask ourselves that question right now? Am I giving light unto all that are in my house? Are you giving light to all that are in your house? Well, what exactly do we mean? Well, let's read verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what?
Your good works.
Okay, so here's a question. In my own home, my neighbors, No one's closer, no one lives closer than those who are living in my house. Are my neighbors, my family, seeing light in me? Are they seeing good works? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so in my home, I don't want to just be doing things for the praise of my neighbors, the praise of my family, but so I must be deflecting all praise to who? To God. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So someone in the home may say, thank you for doing that. That was really great what you did, whatever it was. You did a good job. Well, then what I need to say is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Deflect the glory to the Lord. So if there is darkness in the home, then where's my light? You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to say, well, so-and-so or so-and-so isn't doing this or isn't doing that. But you know what? If we are light in our homes, then you know what? It's going to dispel the darkness. That's what it's going to do. And so that just, it kind of takes it off the negative part and just say, you know what? Oh, okay, well, there's this area or that area that could use improvement. Okay, I'm going to turn on my light for the glory of God and make a difference in that area that's needful in our home. So number one, we need to live right before our children and others. Number two, we need to lead right before our children and others. Someone has got to start doing the right thing. Someone. Let's be the one. Number three, we need to love right before our children and others. We need to love right, or maybe that should say rightly, before our children. Let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22, 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. What would the people in our homes say of us? Just if we stop right there, verses 37 and 38. Would they say of us that we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? Let them be the teacher, the tester. How would they grade us? Good question. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the people in our homes have a pretty good idea if we love God with all of our being. They have a pretty good idea if that's true. And they certainly know if we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, because as we just said, you have no, and I have no closer neighbors than the people that live in my house. God tells me to love them as myself. Notice in Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You see, we don't really have a problem with self-esteem. The world talks about that all the time. The Bible is clear. Every person loves themselves. The problem is do we love others as ourselves? Verse 29, for no man ever yet what? Hated his own flesh. That settles that. Our problem, if we have a problem, it's not a lack of self-esteem. Our problem is not that we don't think highly enough of ourselves. If we have a problem, it's always that we think too highly of ourselves and expect others to meet our expectations. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Part of loving right is the willingness to forgive right. And do it quickly. Notice in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, not very far away here in verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind one to another. And then what? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. So in our homes, that's what we need. We need that type of forgiveness and love. Verse 31, get rid of that bitterness, the wrath, the anger. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to lead in turning the light on and having verse 32, being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, how much has God forgiven us? Everything. Their sins and iniquities will I what? Remember no more. You know what? When we get to heaven, God is not going to bring up one sin before us. Hey, Mike, remember what you did? We're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ where all of our works will face the fire. But God is not bringing up any sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. So with that same forgiveness, verse 32, I pray that in our homes, that's the very basic spot to be a servant, to have a servant's heart. I pray that we would not bring up old things. I pray that we would forgive as Christ has forgiven us. So we've looked at today, we need to live right before our children and others. Number two, we need to lead right before our children and others. And number three, we need to love right before our children and others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we don't want darkness in our homes. We want light. And so I pray that you would help us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We want you to be glorified in our homes. I pray you'd help us to serve, to serve one another in love. So Lord, please help us as fathers here today. We have a great responsibility, and we need your help. We do acknowledge that we need your help. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live right, to lead right, and to love right. And for all of us, Lord, these principles apply to all of us. Help all of us to have the heart of a servant, to serve others, and to glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.